God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going through the seven deadly sins, and today we're going to look at the deadly sin of sloth. Sloth, is that a deadly sin? Well, let's take a look at it today and see what God would teach us about sloth in His Word, the Bible. What can we say today about sloth? Do you have sloth? Are you a sloth? Let's take a look. What is sloth to begin with? Well, let's give you a definition to start out here. From Webster's, it says the definition is, it's a disinclination toward action or labor or work. In a word, translation, laziness. Sloth is just being a lazy bones, a do little or a do nothing, trying to avoid activity and work. Now, for each of the seven deadly sins, we have an animal for each of them. So which one do you think we should choose today for sloth? How about a sloth? What is a sloth? It's not our common American pet. What is a sloth? Well, sloth is a creature that lives in the central South American jungle rainforests. It is known to be the slowest moving mammal on Earth. It doesn't like basically any activity. It sleeps up to 18 hours a day. It spends almost its entire life hanging upside down. And it is so inactive and moves so slowly that it is known to grow on its fur green algae, which it then licks off for its nutrition. I mean, this is a lazy creature, friends. Lazy bones is a sloth. I mean, you don't go to the Jew and say, hey, honey, let's go see the sloth and what he's up to today, because he's up to nothing. He's a lazy creature. Now, of course, in nature and in jungles, there's a place for sloths. That's fine. But there's no place, God says, for sloth in man, inside of you. So let's take a look and see some of the things God says about sloth. He never says anything good about being a sloth or a sluggard in the Bible. Let's take a look first at Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18. Through sloth, the roof sinks in, and through laziness, the house leaks. In other words, your whole life is going to come crashing down around you if you're a sloth, says the Lord. Jumping over here to Proverbs 12. The hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. You're going to have a miserable life once again. You're going to be a slave if you're a sloth. Once again, we're going to look at Proverbs 12:27 this time. A slothful man will not catch his prey, but the diligent will get precious wealth. So you're going to be not getting anything that you desire if you're a sloth. You're going to be basically poor and penniless, but if you're diligent, you can obtain precious wealth. And then Proverbs 19, verse 15, one more here. God says, slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. So the more slothful you are, the more sleepy you're going to become. Do you want a life of sleepiness? Be completely inactive? A dead zombie? Or do you want to be alive and vigilant and fresh and ready to go? Well, don't be a sloth, says God in His Word. How could we characterize this? Now, maybe you can help translate, Zuleika. I think the words that would be characterized most for the sloth would be mañan. Mañan, I'll do it mañan. What's mañana mean? Tomorrow. I'm not going to do it today, I'll get to it tomorrow. Tomorrow, there's always tomorrow. Today, I sleep, says sloth. It's laziness, it's a do-no-work attitude, a non-active spirit. And it can touch each and every one of us. Don't you think there's something in us that doesn't want to work? I like to think at our old house, Beth and I, we used to have on a shelf in the bedroom a book, a great book. It was called Breaking the Procrastination habit. Ask me how good that book was.
Good and Billy.
Well, problem was, is we never got around to reading it. It just collected dust. How about book? We've got books. How about a song? A song that would speak and characterize, be a theme for the sloth. Well, I think about, I'll never forget this. It blew my mind when I was just fresh to college and I went out on the quad just to walk around on a Friday night and see what it was like. And there was a party going on at a frat house across the quad, and they had like a 150-foot long balcony, the terrace out in front of the building, big building, and they had like 10-foot tall speakers, and all these kids were dancing wildly to a song I'd never heard before. What was it? It was basically, I don't wanna work, I just wanna bang on my drums all day. And they're all just dancing and going crazy to that song. I'm like, lowlifes. There is no ambition whatsoever. I cannot believe this song. I've never heard such a song. And it was basically, I don't want to work. I wanna bang on my drums all day. It's the sloth that they were celebrating that night. It sounded like a joke, but you know what? To a lot of people, that's no joke. That's all they really want to do. And in fact, a lot of people work for a good portion of their lives for what purpose? So they can retire and do no work. The only reason they do anything is to make sure that they can guarantee they'll do absolutely nothing. That's the goal. Let's all get to a point where we retire, eat, sleep, be merry, and cease to labor. Oh, then life will come. No! That's not life. That's death, actually. And I've actually seen, in my years in Cape Canaveral, you know, we love all the people that come. Sometimes, though, I've seen, over the 20 years I've been here, some people in the community work so hard at not working. They'll be like a 40-hour-a-week job going from agency to agency to agency to just get as many free gifts as they can. And we want to help out, but they're doing so much work to avoid work. So you don't want to do that, and you certainly don't want to work your whole life to retire. Okay? If you retire, you got to be active. Otherwise, you die. So we're called to work. But sloth is a temptation to all of us. Yeah, it's in every Christian and every human being to, oh, wouldn't it be great just to do no work? Wouldn't that be great? Well, is this really a great sin, and what's God's will for us as his people, or to all people even? Genesis 2, back there at the beginning, when God created Adam, he said, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. So he told Adam, this is even before the fall into sin, he created him, put him somewhere, and what did he want him to do?
Work.
Right? The word there for till it, navath in the Greek, literally means work it, Adam. Work the field. Work it. Work the garden. So God created us, let's get this into our minds, to work. He designed you for work. It's a great thing to labor and to accomplish and to achieve and to be driven with purpose. And a good work ethic is pleasing to God. Even though, of course, we know that after the fall into sin, man goes forth to his work with the sweat of his brow. Isn't that true? Mm. Work can often be a really troublesome, hard thing to do ever since the fall. And you know, my name, my last name, Lassier, French. Not many Frenchmen in the Missouri Synod, but you know, my ancestors, the word name, Lassier, it means the Lord. Like Monsieur means my Lord, Lassier means the Lord. Which means, I always think that means I should serve the Lord. That's what I'm here for. That's what my name says. But our name used to be spelled differently from how it is now. It used to be spelled Lassier just a few generations ago. Like the Lassier peas, you ever get those? Okay. And so it was spelled that way. And you know what that means in French? The sweat. So your pastor's name means the sweat for the Lord. I just want to live up to that. God help me and pray for me that I would work hard with sweat for the Lord. Does that mean God wants us to work all the time? Want to be a workaholic? No, God tells us in Scripture, Deuteronomy 6, you know it well, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath rest to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your manservant, your maidservant, your ox or your donkey, etc., that they may rest as well as you. So it's not good to overwork and be a workaholic, but it's not good to underwork. That's really bad. Okay, that's even worse. God soundly rebukes sloth in the Bible. How dangerous is it though, really? Is it really damaging to have a slothful attitude, to be a sloth? Well, look at what it says in Proverbs 24 here. God says, number one, if you are a sloth, you will be a trouble to yourself. It's going to just be terrible for you. He says here in verse 30 and following, he says, I passed by the field of a sluggard, you know, a sloth, by the vineyard of a man without sense, and lo, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little holding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. So think about that. If you're a sloth, if you're, I don't want to work, I just want to bang on my drums all day, well, you're going to get banged on your head all day for the trouble you're bringing upon yourself. Now, people who are slothful often have a lot of excuses why not to work, right? It can make all kinds of excuses. Proverbs 26 says, the sluggard says, there's a lion in the street, there's a lion in the road. In other words, it's too dangerous to go out and work today. I'll just stay where I am and do nothing. There's always an excuse, right? It's too hot today. No, it's too cold today. No, it's too perfect today. I gotta go out and enjoy the beach. It's too dangerous to work today. It's, you know, the boss, he's just a jerk, so it's, I don't wanna go in and deal with him today. Or it's not enough money. I'm not really getting paid enough money to work. I'm not getting enough recognition. It doesn't fit into my schedule. No one will hire me. There's something else I'd rather do. And the Bible says again in verse 14 there, Proverbs 26, a door as a door turns on its hinges, so the sluggard turns on his bed. And then it says, the sluggard buries his hand into the dish, and it wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. I mean, if you're a sluggard, a slothful person, you'd probably really just rather lick the green algae that's growing on your clothes than to even eat, in a sense. But you know what the problem with this is? If you are a sloth and act that way, it only leads to you being more of a sloth. Don't you know that? If you're lazy, it's going to only breed greater laziness. If you're inactive, you're going to become more and more inactive till you're an absolute zombie, do nothing. How do we get energy in life? Who wants to have energy? Raise your hand. Wouldn't you like your life to be full of vitality, with a fresh breeze, with driven, with life pouring through your veins, with shining light sprinkling from your fingertips? Well, you gotta get moving. At least move your body. I remember sometime when I was young, I was at Cape Cod one day, and I remember just being so sluggish. I mean, maybe it was the food I was eating, but I was just like, oh, my mind is brain foggy, and I want to just sleep, and I don't want to do anything, and I'm like, I just can't live this way. I'm like, I'm going to go down to the beach. It was almost nighttime. There was a deep fog falling over the bay. It was a bit cool, and I said, I'm just going to get active. I went outside, a little fresh air started to wake up, dragged the dinghy down to the beach, and I went out for a row along the shore in the night, in the fog, and I came alive! And I'm like, I can go all night forever because I got moving. Action and energy leads to action and more energy, but laziness and sloth only leads downwards to death. Look at this. Proverbs 21 says, the desire of a sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. You know what? Sloth is deadly. God says it will kill you. So shake it off. God wants us to be active, to have hard work, ambition, drive, purpose, achieve something. And the more you do, the more energy you're going to have, the longer you're going to live. For God made man to work. It is life-giving to work and to achieve. If not, you're just bringing trouble on yourself. But also, you're not just bringing trouble on yourself. You're bringing trouble on other people around you. Who likes to hang around a sloth or a sluggard? Proverbs 10 says, a son who gathers in summer is prudent, but a son who sleeps in harvest brings shame. In other words, your parents are going to be embarrassed to have you as their child, or your friends, or your brother, or your wife, or your husband. Oh my goodness, the guy doesn't do anything. This guy's an embarrassment. Proverbs 18 says, he who is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. In other words, if you don't get up and get active, you're just as good as someone who's destroying everything around you. Proverbs 10 says, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. In other words, you are annoying to everyone. Remember when I was sailing on the schooner in the Spirit of Massachusetts when I was a young guy again? Everything's when I'm a young guy. But we were sailing on the schooner, big tall ship in the Caribbean. I was one of the mates. I was in charge of a watch of college students. And on our watch, we had great people save one. One guy, he was a sloth and a sluggard. You couldn't get this guy to do anything. We'd wake him up for a midnight watch. Come on, it's time to get up on deck. It's time to stand watch. The other watch is going to sleep, and you could not wake this guy. We went down literally and shook him, and we had to dress him like a little baby. Put his foul weather gear on him, get him on deck, say, all right, you so-and-so, I won't give his name, stand here and look out for ships. This is your bow watch. Keep us safe. You go up 5 minutes later, he was sleeping and snoozing and snoring by the mast. What was he doing? Being an absolute smoke in the eyes of everybody. He was so annoying because it made everybody have to work all that much harder. He wouldn't pull his own weight, and he endangered the ship. Nobody is going to like you if you're a sloth. Everybody's going to be ticked off and angry with you, annoyed because nobody likes a sluggard. Thirdly, you're going to be a trouble to God as well, because God created us to work, and it also says in Jeremiah 48, cursed is he who does the work of the Lord with slackness. So God wants us to be zealous after the good things, especially the spiritual things of God. And you know, Paul in the Bible actually has to rebuke a large portion of the church in Thessalonica for sloth, because he says, keep away from any brother who's living in idleness, not doing any work. He says, if anyone will not work, don't even let the guy eat. He says, look, we apostles, when we gave you an example, we toiled night and day that we might not burden any of you. So he says, we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. We command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you do your work in quietness and earn your own living. Brothers, don't be weary in well-doing, says the Apostle Paul with a command. So don't be a sloth. So how ought we rather to live? What should we be like? I got another picture up here. How about this one? Instead, God says, be, what is that? Can you see?
Ants.
An ant. Are you guys, do I see a whole army of ants out here? Proverbs 6 says, go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her food in summer and gathers her sustenance in harvest. The ant does not need a boss breathing down its neck to get its work done. You ever go to a fire ant mound around here? You see those things, right? And what do you have to do? Just take a little stick and stir it even a little bit. And what happens? The place comes absolutely alive in seconds. Thousands of ants quickly running. Who disturbed our nest? Let's quickly put it back together. Oh, and they're not sitting there going, maybe mañana. No, now. Be an ant, God says. And look, I don't know if you can see that, but look at this ant now. It's almost as tall as that girl. This is just little tiny creatures. But if they work hard, the things that they can do and build, God says, be rather an ant. Consider her ways and imitate. 4, the hand of the diligent will rule. You're going to be a CEO. You're going to be the ruler. You're going to be the king. You're going to be the captain. You're going to be in charge of everything if you are an active person. Everybody's going to love it. You'll rule the world. Ecclesiastes 9, whatever your hand finds to do, says Solomon, do it with all your might. Paul says, whatever your task, work heartily as serving the Lord and not men, knowing that you're going to receive the inheritance as your reward. You're serving the Lord Christ. And everybody's going to love you. Do you want to be loved? Like cold of snow in the time of harvest is the faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the spirit of his masters. If you are diligent and the opposite of sloth, but an active, energetic person doing your work, you're going to be pleasing to yourself like a fresh breeze. Everybody's going to say, this person is just a breath of fresh air. We love having him around. And God is going to go, love it. I love a good hard work ethic like that. Not that we should be workaholics. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. But do your work, God says, and you'll be blessed and you'll be full of life. Now, let's get to the spiritual higher application of this. Are we just talking about worldly work here? Earthly vocations? Things you do on a task of just the things of this earth? Well, really what we want to say here is that you must not be a sluggard, we must not, in spiritual matters. That's where this is really the deadly sin and the killer. Spiritual apathy, spiritual laziness kills, I think, more than any of the other deadly sins. This is the biggest killer, sloth. Think of the people who will not get up and read the Bible, right? We all feel that. Or get to church each week to hear the word, or to be diligent in the sacraments, or to pray, or to be zealous to go after the Lord. Especially, let's look at unbelievers just for a second. I mean, you can be an absolute workaholic and work, fill your days then with also sports and entertainment and TV and videos and travels and vacations and fun, and be so active in an earthly way, but be a total slug spiritually, right? Isn't that true?
Yeah.
What happens if you do? You're going to be damned. Just like, we read that a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty is going to come upon you like a vagabond, want like an armed man. For people make all excuses when they hear the command, repent and come to Christ now for salvation. And they say, mañana. Tomorrow, maybe I'll get around to coming to Jesus the next day. And they make excuses like we hear in the banqueting table parable. I've bought a field, have me excused. I bought 5 yoke of oxen, have me excused. I just married a wife, have me, I pray you, excused from coming to the party. If you, oh unbelieving world, hear the message, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to come to Christ. You don't know if he's going to be tomorrow. Jesus says, behold, look, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with you. And you're going to eat with me. But if you are not so energetic as to get up and even open the door, come to Christ for salvation, then you're going to be such that this second chance may never come. The Lord will pass by. You might not have a tomorrow. You're just a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. You don't know if you'll live till tomorrow. So come today. Don't be a sloth, O world. When you hear the message, run to Christ who's calling you. He will save you. But that also goes for Christians too, right? Well, how can we do the same? Well, God's calling us into his word. God's calling us into prayer to be zealous for the prize of A life lived for Christ with rewards in the heavens where there's no thief or moth or rust to consume and no thieves to break in and steal. You've got time, God says. Be an ant. Where is it? Be energetic. Run this way and that for me. I have a prize for you if you'll do it. Great treasures if you're energetic for the Lord. For Jesus told the parable that, he's going away and he entrusted to his servants talents. To one, five, another two, another one. What did the first guy do? I got five talents. Wow, at once, immediately, with energy, I'm going to run and serve the Lord and see what I can make with these he's given me. The second did the same. At once runs and trades. And the third one, what's he do?
Buries it.
He buries it in the ground. Then Jesus is going to come, he says, one day to settle accounts with them. Well, let's see how you did with your life. The one that had the five, energetic, serving the Lord. Hooray, I want to go for the prize. Wow, you made five talents more, says the master. Excellent. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over this little that I've given you. Watch, I'm going to set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. The second, likewise. Here, you gave me two. I made two more. Excellent. So proud of you. Good job. Here, you enter into the joy of your master. The third, I didn't do anything. I just sat around. I did nothing. No action. I just buried it. You wicked and slothful servant. Notice he uses the word slothful servant. Wicked equals slothful. You knew I reap where I didn't sow and gather where I didn't winnow. Why didn't you then at least invest my money in the bank so that I should have at least gotten some interest? So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given. But from him who has not even what he thinks that he has shall be taken away. And then he says, cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. So notice, worthless equals wicked equals slothful here. The word in the Greek means tardy, slow, idle, lazy, lacking ambition, a slug, a sloth. All right, so we don't want to be that one, right? Be the ant, God says. Run for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We've got prizes for you. Don't you know that all the runners in a race compete, but only one receives the prize, says Paul. So run that you may obtain it. For every athlete exercises self-control in all things on earth. But we're running for not a perishable wreath, but an imperishable wreath. Eternal glory and forever riches. So, in conclusion then today, I want you to be energized. And we all need to stir each other up to love and good works. We all have sloths in us. Me too, you as well, but let's just crush it and be energetic for the Lord, because Jesus crushed it and was energetic for us. When he came all the way down from heaven, he came to sweat great drops of blood to work hard for your salvation. At 12 years old, didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Why were you even looking for me? You knew where I was. When he grew up, he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. And to accomplish his work, how constrained I am until it's accomplished. He set his face like flint to accomplish God's work. My Father's working still. I'm working. And he raced up to Jerusalem, and he did just that. He accomplished your salvation and mine. And he said at the end, it is finished. It is done. He laid down to rest, but just for a couple of days. On the third day, up he comes, alive, ascends to heaven and sends us out to work with him, work, to the end of time, to save souls with the preaching of the gospel. Remember, the slothful will be put to forced labor eternally, but the hand of the diligent will rule eternally with him. So, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's his work that saves you, not yours. Yours can bring rewards. Therefore, my beloved brethren, says Paul, let's be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.